Proverbs 31, as we've mentioned the last 3 weeks, usually is seen as a sermon, the last part of it, verses 10 through 31, to women. And second, in a secondary sense, it can be that. I certainly think that what is presented in verses 10 through 31 help us to train our daughters and help them to know what they're to focus on and to encourage them as to what is important in their lives. But Proverbs 31, as we have seen, is written as a recollection by King Lemuel of things that his mother had taught him as a son. So it's a mother's training towards a son specifically, and I think it brings up a lot of good things. I won't go into Lemuel's identity again, but that's summarized in your notes as well. Let me just highlight the six topics that this mother taught her son. And I don't think they relate at all in any kind of exclusive way. Even though Lemuel was a king, or a king-to-be when his mom was teaching him, I don't think that in any way it makes sense to limit that to kings, because every one of these makes sense for all of us. Okay, so you see here, number one, teach about origin. I think it's important for kids to know they belong. One of the blessings that I had yesterday, Hannah said as she left it this morning, she goes, "I'm sorry, I didn't even see you yesterday hardly." And I said, "You have no idea what it meant for me for you to be able to sit down and talk with the sister you grew up with. You know, she and Esther just talked and talked and talked. And that just blessed my heart, because that is, they belong. You know, they were the best of friends forever. They're still friends, but now they're married and they have new best friends, right? But they still are close friends, and it was so good, but they belong. And I think a mom is the first one who initiates that. You're the child, you belong to me, you're the child of my womb, and by the way, I raised you to go in a particular direction. So there's a sense of purpose there as well. And all of that is important to a child. So I call it teach about origin is how I summarize it there. And we're not just talking genealogy. I don't think that's really what this is about at all. It's like you are part of us, and we're pointing you in this direction. Number two, teach about purity. We've pointed out, too, that throughout the book of Proverbs, purity is spoken of actually quite a bit. I mean, Solomon at least touches on two occasions. Proverbs 5 is about purity in a great way. I think it's Proverbs 7 or 8 he talks about again. Maybe it's chapter 6, I don't know. But he talks about how a man is tempted and ends up going into a harlot, a prostitute. So that's from a man's standpoint. Well, this is from a mom's standpoint, and she approaches it completely differently. She says that a woman having an immoral lifestyle, giving herself over to women, and by the way, it's a plurality of women here, which is against what God has designed, but it'll steal your power and your purpose. It ruins your life, really, in a real way. It takes your energy, so you're unable to do what God wants you to do, and it distracts you, so it diverts you from what God wants you to do. So really, in a nutshell, it wastes your life. That's the approach she approaches it from. Don't give your strength to women. It destroys kings. And by the way, if it'll destroy a king, it'll destroy anybody not in that rank as well. It'll destroy the most powerful of people. And so we need to teach our kids, both fathers and mothers, about purity. And I believe each one of them approaches it from a different angle. That's why I think God's idea of having a mom and a dad is so outstanding, because they each teach differently by how they perceive things and look at things. Both are important. Number three, teach about sobriety. It says that it's not for kings, O Lemuel, to drink wine or princes intoxicating drink. And by the way, I think the Bible pretty much prohibits drinking because it intoxicates us and it causes us to forget the law and pervert justice here. It causes us to be controlled by something other than the Spirit if you bring in the New Testament. So the idea is we're not to be controlled or ordered by anything else, and anything that clouds the mind is something we need to steer away from if that is a choice to do so. And the reason I say a choice to do so, because in the next verses, in teaching about mercy, Lemuel's mother teaches him that it's okay to use those same things, wine and strong drink, in a medicinal value. Those are good. It's to give a strong drink to one who is dying. We talked about pain medicine today a little bit with Juanita. I think, you know, the idea is she's feeling pain, but she didn't right away. It's so good to have pain medicine. I'm a okay guy with pain, but I would hate to have like a cavity drilled without Novocaine. Have you ever had that? I had one that like that, and the dentist said, "Oh, it's not a big deal. It's just a little one." So I think I lost 5 years of my life in that chair that day. Because he felt no pain at all. But anyway, the idea, it's there. Wine for one bitter of heart. We talked about a relaxant or a sleep aid. Someone who was distraught, maybe they lost a family member or something, but just something that allows them to just be calm for the moment. But it's not there for recreational use. It's not there to forget your problems on a weekly basis or a nightly basis. That's not what it's there for. It's that unusual time when you're going under the very difficult time. So it's sleep aid or painkiller, relaxant kind of thing. And it has to do with mercy. It's caring for people. It's providing that when they need that. The next thing Lemuel's mother teaches about is justice. Speak up when you can for people who can't speak up for themselves, for people that have no voice, no hope, or no help. And we've explained it in a little more detail 2 weeks ago, but we're not just on earth for ourselves. We're here to help other people. And some people don't have the capacity or the ability to speak up for themselves. And that's probably true in every culture, even in the United States of America. The last topic is to teach about matrimony. And that's what the rest of the chapter talks about. But it places in contrast with verse 3 the idea of you're seeking a virtuous wife, a single woman, a single one, as in one woman, as opposed to the women that will destroy you. Okay, and that's God's plan from the beginning. We're going to talk about that in our second session a bit as we review the idea of the wedding ceremony. But God's plan is to wait and find that one woman who most matches what God says a godly woman looks like. Okay? And the guy, mom says to look for a woman by what she does, not how she looks. Okay? We'll talk about one particular body part that should draw your attention as a guy to a woman. Okay? And it's not what the world emphasizes today at all. But it's her actions and her attitude, not her beauty. Okay, so we'll talk about that a little more. Let me just run through the ones that we've covered so far. We've gone all the way down, as you see in your notes. Have you gotten notes yet? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention, I guess. So I filled everything out down to what we haven't covered. Okay, so Lemuel is told to look for a woman who's virtuous and thus valuable. And you can't compare her price-wise to a bunch of rubies, okay? Find a woman who's trustworthy and safe, as opposed to women that'll destroy you. Here's a woman that wants your best. And it kind of describes that a little more in verse 12. Her intent is to do him good and not evil. She's there for your good. And notice, all the days of her life, her point is to help you all the days of her existence. That's her direction. That's her attitude. That is what you can discern from watching her. Like we mentioned last week, that's why I do not believe in love at first sight. Because that is probably a beauty focus rather than a behavior focus, okay? It takes time to learn what a person is like. Verse 13, look for a woman who is inventive and motivated. Wool and flax were like raw materials. She was willing to make things out of something less than that. Like I said, today you could probably buy clothes a lot cheaper than you can make them. But you can make food a lot cheaper than you can buy prepared stuff, for an example. There's probably other things that you can think of. Later on, she plants a vineyard, so that's even a food product there. But she willingly works with her hands. You could probably describe verses 10 through 27 that in one way, she's not lazy. She's a very hard worker. I mean, a lot of these overlap, but you can say that. She's a hard worker. She's not there waiting for other people to wait on her. She's out serving other people. That's how you identify that. Verse 14, she's active and mobile. She's like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. Remember, they didn't have refrigerators, canning, and all of that. You could dry stuff. You could probably salt it to preserve things. But otherwise, you had to go out pretty much regularly, if not daily, and get the food. And she would go farther to get the better food or the cheaper food, it seems to imply. You know, what it takes to get what she needs. She brings her food from afar. So there's a whole bunch of things that are implied there, like planning and prioritizing that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But she figures things out so she can get all of that, okay? I think of my wife, Jane. This has nothing to do with what I just said, but it kind of illustrates it. But I remember making breakfast, I can cook very little, but I can cook breakfast, you know, like eggs, toast, and if I do some kind of meat or something, that's about the extent of it. The fascinating thing that I always, with Jane, was that you could eat all of that at one time when she cooked it. When I cook breakfast, it's like a three-course meal because, okay, your eggs are ready. Now the toast will be coming up and the bacon will be your dessert because I could never figure out how to do it. But that's somehow the way she does it, it makes it all happen. But kind of the same way for food. She goes out shopping that way too. She gets it all at once. Verse 15. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She's selfless and structured. Okay? Again, she's considering all the people in her household and her employ. They had some maidservants here, they said as well. But she's also structured. She knows what comes next. She knows what needs to be done. She has an order about her life. Okay? I'm sorry for saying so much. I'm noticing that today. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She's productive and she's proactive. We mentioned last week that she goes out, she considers a field. So she's able to evaluate what's good or not, how much it's produced or whether it's good land or whatever. And then she buys the field and then she plants a vineyard. We kind of slam down the idea that, you know, some commentaries will say, well, see, it shows that a woman can be a real estate agent. Well, if planting a single vineyard makes you a real estate agent, then we're probably already there, you know, some way, shape, or form, if buying a field. But that's not the case. It's a single event, and then she herself plants it. She doesn't rent it out or whatever, and that seems to produce more food and possibly more income as well for her family. It mentioned with her profits, which we'll talk about in a minute. It kind of backs into how she gets the profits. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She's helpful and hardworking. Okay, she's, again, it overlaps that same idea, but she is one who's actively working. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. So now it mentions merchandise. Remember, it talked about prophets, now it's merchandise. She's reflective. She evaluates what's going on, what she's doing, and she's routine. Her lamp doesn't go out by night. Okay, so in other words, she's planning ahead to make sure that the lamp continues till the next day when they add more oil. So there's kind of a household management idea there going. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. Remember the flax and the wool? This is where she's turning it into cloth. She's making things. Now, I'm not necessarily suggesting you make cloth. In fact, that might not be a good stewardship of your time. If you do that, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You'll probably be like us growing eggs. It's more for the experience and maybe the better eggs. You certainly don't break even on the eggs themselves unless you compare it with like the $4 eggs that they sell it in the store or whatever. But, there's reasons you might do things. But the idea is she's making things, producing things. We even suggested last week that one of the ways that people can save money as well as accomplish way more other things in their families to homeschool. I would suggest every year that we've homeschooled, we've saved the school district anywhere between $20,000 and $70,000 a year. So we're doing that pretty good for them. And then also, that saves a lot of money and also has benefits on the side as well. So I consider that part of that as well, the working idea. Skillful and resourceful, I guess, at verse 19. Now, verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor and she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's aware of other people besides herself. She's aware of the needs of others. Kind of like what she just told her son, Lemuel, to be. Look for a woman that cares for other people and that does something about it. Okay, so she reaches out her hands to the needy. So she's aware and caring. And there's New Testament scripture that I could relate to here, but I'm going to move on because I've already kind of covered it. Now, let's get to verse 21. And this is a new fill in the blank here that'll kind of overlap again with what we've done. By the way, let's just go ahead and pray first as we kind of finish the end of this here. Father, thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, that we would learn from it, Lord, that we would be teachable, and Lord, that our minds would not be so clouded by our culture that we cannot see what you are teaching us here. And Lord, help us to embrace your truth and to live your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, and all her household is clothed with scarlet. And when you think of Israel, you don't think of snow much, but they do have mountains and they do have snow occasionally. Maybe that's over there. It might be like Atlanta where you get a little snow and everything shuts down. Even if they hear of snow, they close school down, you know. But what I put down here is she plans and prioritizes. So she plans and prioritizes. We've already talked about that a little bit. And I'll scroll down so you can see this better. I'll take the lens cap off so you can see better also. You didn't even know what you couldn't see, huh? So she plans and prioritizes. Now, where do you get that? She's not afraid of the snow. Why? Because she's taken steps to address that, okay? She's planned ahead because her family is clothed with scarlet. Okay, so she's gone ahead and she's looked ahead. It kind of reminds me of in Proverbs, it talks about look to the ant, for they harvest ahead of time so that when they need the food and there is no food, they have food. It's kind of the same thing. Here's a woman that looks ahead to what her family will need in the next month, in the next 6 months, in the cold weather coming or whatever the case might be, and she decides what they need and then gets what they need, or makes here probably what they need. Okay? So before winter hits, the kids have winter coats or clothes or whatever. She's looking ahead. Or what my wife does, she buys the stuff when it's on sale at the end for the next year. You know, kind of looking ahead. Okay? So plans and prioritizes. Find a woman that looks ahead to the needs ahead and acts upon them. That's what Mom is telling Lemuel here. Number 22, verse 22, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. By the way, there's more of this making going on. Remember, profits, merchandise, making, your hands to the distaff and all that, and making tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. This is interesting that it doesn't... I'll type first and then I'll talk. She's self-aware and, I'll move this over in a sec, fashionable. She's self-aware and fashionable. Well, what do I mean by that? She's not, and please don't take this in some kind of arrogant way or whatever, but she takes care of herself. She's not dumpy. The kind of the stereotypical person who doesn't clean up herself, doesn't dress nicely, and I don't mean nicely as in richly, but doesn't take care of herself. You know, she's just, I guess, frumpy is the word that it comes to my mind. But a person that has a level of self-respect for herself and for others, and by the way, it emphasizes what she's wearing, which is something you can do something about, right? As opposed to if you're born with natural beauty, which I am not, okay, all you have to work with is your clothing. But it emphasizes her clothing here. So she takes care of herself in the way she dresses, okay? She's a woman that cares enough about herself to clean up and look nice. Not necessarily spending lots of money or anything, though here she makes stuff, so it looks like it kind of looks kind of nice. But she's fashionable. Not audacious, not over the top. She's not faddish. She simply looks nice when you see her. Okay? I think that's a good thing. Well, let's just say it doesn't matter if Kevin thinks it's a good thing. The Bible thinks that's a good thing. Now, verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, this is huge. She is enabling and freeing for whom, I might add, or ask. Who is she enabling? Her husband. Go all the way back to verse, 3 or 4, the women that do him harm, that destroy him, that take away his power and his purpose. And then Lemuel's mother says, look for a woman who will do you good and not evil all the days of her life, that you can safely trust in her. This kind of ties in with what Genesis teaches. It's not good for man to be, help me out, alone. I will make you a helper suitable for him. What's the emphasis? And we're going to talk about this in the second session a little more, but what's the emphasis of the woman? Helping her husband, right? It keeps coming back to that. What is a husband able to do if you find a godly woman? She is caring for things so that he is liberated, he's freed up to do bigger things. And if you think that's unimportant, look what he's doing. He sits among the elders of the land. He's helping ruling the territory, the region, maybe the state, whatever. Now, this is a political and I think judicial. The elders sat in the gate and they actually decided things, like judges kind of as well. You know, they worked, it was kind of the lawyers and the judges together was kind of, if you mix those together, I think that's what you kind of get there. They're helping do that. But they're able to impact beyond their own home. They're able to do whatever God called them to do more effectively because the wife has enabled him by caring for things where? In the home. The whole emphasis of what she has done is in the home. She's frugal, she's hardworking, she's planning ahead and all that. So he is able to, let me put it this way, he's able to be in his garden. And we'll use that next hour as well. Again, I encourage you to be here for that. It's just a lot there. The next verse here, she makes linen garments and sells them. So see, it's kind of backed into it. She's got profits, or she buys raw materials. She has profits. She spins. She makes. And now here she makes and sells. Okay, so let's see. Verse 24, she's industrious and frugal. By the way, this is not in place of what she does as a mother and a wife. I think it's in addition to it, if you read it that way. In the time that she has when she's not doing other things, she's being industrious. She's saying, well, I have extra time beyond making clothes for my kids. And again, I'm saying it as if we were in that culture. But making things, I'll make extra and what? I'll sell them. Now, what does this not do? It does not take her from her home. It does not take her from her husband. It does not take her from her children. So please do not superimpose today's culture here. This is something she can do when she has time with her family. We mentioned the same thing with that with the vineyard, correct? The vineyard, you could take the kids and they can even help with that. Okay? It doesn't take her away from her husband and her family. So she's industrious and frugal. Notice she makes linen garments and sells them. It's interesting too. And she makes sashes. Garments will probably come to my house and I'll fit the dress and you can take it with you or whatever kind of thing. But the sashes, isn't that something you wrap around you somehow? But the sashes, she sells them to the whom? She doesn't set up her own shop, interestingly enough. She's a wholesaler at that point. She doesn't go to the market and sell them at the market. She sells them to the people who sell them at the market. Because she's where? Home. Okay? So just be fair to what is there. And again, don't read our culture into here and then try and prove our culture from the passage. Read what the passage says and align us with what God says it should be the norm. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her what? Clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. And this is hard to know what this is talking about necessarily. But modest, and I call it eternal. And how in the world do those go together? I had to just sit there and wrestle with this. And I don't know if I got it right, but I think I'm pretty close. Strength and honor are her clothing. Now listen, she dresses on the basis of strength and honor, not, what's the word I'm looking for? Not attractiveness in the wrong way, illicit attractiveness, or immodesty. What draws your attention to her is her strength and her honor. Men, when you're looking for a woman, it does make a difference how she dresses. She is not dressing to draw her attention to her body. When you see her, what you think of is there's a strong woman with honor. That's what you see by the way she dresses. Isn't that interesting? In our day, it is so hard to live as a woman, I believe. Because the women that claim the name of Christ do not think this way. I would have a hard time walking into some churches, and it would be no more difficult than walking into a mall because they don't dress any differently. And the Bible does address how a woman is to dress. And I know that sounds archaic. And in most churches I would say that, I would be laughed out of the church. That's how far we've gotten. But the Bible certainly teaches that. And here, Lemuel's mother says, you look for a woman that when you see her clothing, you think strength and honor. You don't lust because of how she dresses. That is huge. Now, how does this go with the next phrase? She shall rejoice in time to come. What is the pressure of a woman in this culture, or in any culture? I'm sure it was true here too. Women? I read this a couple days ago. I'm not sure where. But it's funny, but women dress. And I haven't run this by my wife, so I may be wrong in this. But women dress for other women. I know that sounds funny, but women are worried about what other women think of how they look. That's a big influence anyway. That's why when you go into some of these church groups and all that, you're like, why are they? You see these women and they're dressed like the teenagers. I mean, in every way. And you're like, they're trying to look, what? Young. They're trying to look like their culture. They're trying to fit in, and instead of being the other way around. The older women are to help encourage the younger women how to dress. Okay? Here is this. A woman who fears the Lord, that's the context of this passage at the end that we'll get to in just a minute here, cares about what God says, and she looks to His reward. She shall rejoice in time to come. She's not trying to fit into her culture. Now, she's, what did we say, a fashionable, but she dresses with strength and honor. She is not dressing like the world. And by the way, the world does dress. The Bible says the world lives by the lusts of their flesh. That is what motivates men to look at women, and that's what motivates women and how they dress. Yes, to fit in for women and also to appeal to men. Okay? She's looking ahead and says, no, in the long run, this is the right way, and God will honor me for it. Okay? That's the idea. I think that's the eternal. She's rejoicing in the time to come. She's not trying to fit into her culture. She's not trying to be like the world. She is trying to be like the woman God wants her to be. And that will go against what the world does. Okay? Verse 25. She's wisely and kindly spoken. What do I have underlined there for you? Spoken. She's wisely and kindly spoken. Pay attention to what she says, how she says it. Okay? What she says and how she says it. She opens her mouth with wisdom. That's what she says. And on her tongue is the law of kindness, is how she says it. How does she use her tongue? Okay? The Bible talks about the tongue is hard to tame, and the tongue is also probably one of the most powerful things. in the world. But listen to how she talks. What does she say and how does she say it? The last descriptive word here is she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Again, it seems to say the same thing several different ways, but she's watchful and diligent. She's not lazy, as we talked about. She's very diligent, working hard. Okay. Now, let's just do some summary of the value. Lemuel's mother now summarizes this. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, or blessed, if you prefer. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. So there's two things. She's, I call this the results, okay? These two. What are the results of her efforts? One, she's blessed by her children. And she's blessed by her husband. Her children, long term, rise up and bless her for what she has bestowed on them, for all of her efforts and energies over years and years and years. They may not see it in the midst of there when it's happening, but they certainly see it as they get older. They start appreciating it. We heard a lot of that with my daughters, you know, when they start having their first babies and stuff. And they helped raise a lot of our kids in some ways. You know, there's pictures of every one of them holding our babies and stuff like that. But they thought they knew until they had their own. And then they, all of a sudden, it kind of hits home. They realize how much mom invested in them. Hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. Kind of idea. And then notice the husband. The husband also blesses her, if you will, and he praises her. He speaks out publicly and says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. That's a quote. That's what he's saying about his wife. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. You are doing wonderful or great things. Okay? Now, I think we have two more points here, and we'll wrap this up. Charm is deceitful. This is verse 30. And beauty is what? Passing. Okay? Charm is deceitful. You can charm somebody. You can be flattering, or you can manipulate somebody. And that's just deceit. That's just selling something that dishonestly. And beauty doesn't last. So Lemuel's mother is saying, don't listen to a woman and how she talks and her charm, you know, to you. And don't just look at her beauty, because guess what? That goes away. That passes. All right? But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So Lemuel's mother contrasts externals, which you have charm, how they talk to you, and then beauty. Externals versus godliness is what I call this. Externals in the sense of how they talk to you, how sweet they are to you, you know. And then their beauty. By the way, you can do a lot, you know, with stuff too. And then you see the movie stars without any makeup kind of thing, and you're like, wow. Okay. You know, that kind of, it's a lot of it's a skin deep, literally. Okay. So externals versus godliness. You are to find someone, and it summarizes all of the above, verses 10 down to verse 27, as a woman who fears the Lord. She is ordering her life by what God wants, not by the influences of the world, or not by her personal whims and desires. Lastly, these are what I call the rewards. These are kind of like short-term rewards, I guess. It says here, give her the fruit of her hands. And the reward of her hands. By what I have in the notes. Reward of her hands and the reward of her reputation. Those two. By the way, I mentioned there's a body part that you should look for. The word hands occurs, I think, 5 times. Again, you're looking at her activity, not her beauty. Her beauty will be in her activity. You see that even in 1 Timothy 2 when it talks about modesty, it talks about good works. That's what should clothe a woman. That's what should draw your attention to her, not how she dresses. So the reward of her hands, it talks about from her profits, she goes and purchases a field. Well, the idea is all the stuff that she's making on the side, that should be hers to do things that she wants to do with. Okay, it's not supporting the family directly. She might do it for that. You know, that's she bought a field and producing grapes on it now. But I always suggest that's a set-aside kind of stuff. Okay, let her do what she wants with that. And then the reward of her reputation, and let her own works praise her in the gates. She will become known as a person who is godly and who is strong and who is a woman of honor. So a mother shares these things with her son and says, look for a woman who fears the Lord. Look for a woman who focuses on your good all the days of her life. Look for a woman who is actively involved in caring for others, serving for others. She's not afraid to work. She's not lazy. And that she'll hang around home and help you and raise godly children. An amazing passage written by a son who heard these things from his mother. So very encouraging for us to teach our kids, sons, what to look for in daughters, or our wives, and then also as a secondary application, daughters, this is something to look forward to. What you focus on is not your outward appearance of catching someone by how you look, but catch someone by how you work. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would just help us to absorb these things in a day when so little of this is true in our culture. And we thank you for godly men and godly women who exemplify these teachings and encourage these lifestyles. Bless our fellowship now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.